Clerk will come to order. Would all senators present vote affirmatively and get in the presence?
Senator Ziegler?
Senator Ray called in this morning about a half an hour ago, and he was more of one, I think, but he sounded terrible. He said he sort of couldn't leave the house, and he had to be excused because of illness. Couldn't find anybody else, so he called me.
Without objection, Senator Ray will be excused. Would the clerk announce the roll?
The roll shows 17 members present. Senator Tillian has been excused from the call of the Senate.
And of course, note that Senator Ray has just been excused. Prayer by the chaplain, Dr. Jerry Prevo, pastor of the Anchorage Baptist Temple.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for another day that You've given to us. We never cease to be amazed at Your divine creation of this world and mankind. As our senators of this great state of Alaska convene to consider the affairs of men, may they look to You for wisdom, guidance, and understanding. Help us as leaders to experience in our personal lives success and happiness so that we may bring success and happiness to the lives of the people of Alaska. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, we pray. Amen.
The secretary will certify as to the correctness of the previous day's journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 18th legislative day and Senate Supplement Number 9.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an action item consent to the journal for the 18th day and Senate Supplement Number 9.
Is there any objection? Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, I move an action item consent that the day's prayer be spread on the journal.
First of all, we'll take the certification of the journal. Is there any objection to the certification of the journal by the secretary? If not, it's so ordered. And on Senator Bradley's request, the prayer of the chaplain will be spread upon the journal. Senator Orsini. Senator Stanides. Introduction of guests. Senator Cotula.
Mr. President, this will be a multiple introduction, and 13 members would like to introduce people from their district that have served in this distinguished body, the State School Board. Mr. President, it's my pleasure then to introduce the following people: Catherine Hurley, who's president of the State School Board, Gail Groff, and also Augie Anderson, and Beverly Horn, Jan Holman. Apologies to Pete, I'm good. They'll please stand.
Any further introduction of guests?
Yes, Mr. President.
Senator Hackney.
It gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce a gentleman from my hometown who, like Muhammad Ali, retired undefeated from the political wars a couple of years ago, served two terms in the House from Fairbanks, former Representative Dick Grant.
Mr. Randolph, of course, as a past member of the legislature, you have the privilege of this floor, as well as the privilege of the floor of the House, I'm certain. We welcome your presence. It's nice to see you again. Senator Sumner.
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me, I'd like to introduce a friend and associate, Dr. Del Brock, principal of the Anchorage Christian Schools.
Senator Bradley.
I was reading a bill, Mr. President, and I don't think Senator Tatula introduced Mr. Terry Brown, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Brown, military representative on the Board of Education.
Any further introduction of guests?
Right.
Senator Cotula.
What happened was that we were individually and severally going to make the introductions.
I proceeded to screw the deal up.
Any further introduction of guests? Next order of business, messages from the governor.
January 28, the Honorable John L. Rader, President of the Senate. Dear Mr. President, I have signed the following resolution and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing, House Joint Resolution Number 2, urging renegotiation of the convention authorizing the International Pacific Halibut Commission. Sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. This will be put in the files, and there are no other messages from the governor.
Messages from the House.
The House has passed the following. House Joint Resolution Number 11 by Representatives Malone, Gardner, and Specking, requesting the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce to hold a hearing in Alaska on oil tanker safety.
Although normally this resolution would be referred to resources and then with a Rules Committee referral, I'm going to refer it directly to Rules because there's some urgency apparently in this, and ask the Resource Chairman to take a look at it and perhaps study it independently, and if you wish it in your committee, we will refer it back to your committee on Monday. We've had a request from the Speaker of the House for early action. Apparently Senator Magnuson is setting up some hearings, and he thinks it's important that we be involved in that. Does the Senator have any objection from Resources?
No, I have no objection. In fact, I sponsored the similar resolution on the Senate side that's hung up in some other committee.
Mr. President.
Senator Curtula.
The Senate, the first meeting of the Senate State Affairs Committee did send that resolution directly over to the Resource Committee, so it should have arrived this morning as opposed to last night.
Senator Croft.
I say that the contact has already been made with the Magnuson Committee, and there's a good possibility that they will be able to come up here in February. So that's the reason for contacting.
Well, so that no senator will be surprised, we will expect it to be on the calendar Monday, and the senators have an opportunity to individually examine it between now and then. Would the secretary continue? Any further messages from the House?
There are no further messages from the House.
Communications?
There are no communications.
Standing committee reports.
The State Affairs Committee has had Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 6, statue of Senator Ernest Greening for placement in the National Statuary Hall of the U.S. Capitol, and the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Curtula, co-chairman, and concurred in by Senators Ray, Bradley, Huber, and Willis. There is no further referral.
Rules.
The State Affairs Committee has had Senate Joint Resolution 6, requesting the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce hold hearing on oil tanker safety, and the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by co-chairman Senator Curtula and concurred in by Senators Ray, Bradley, Huber, and Willis. There is a further referral to Resources. Commerce Committee has had Senate Bill 4, Vets loans under consideration, and the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Bradley, chairman, and concurred in by Senators Sumner, Hackney, and Poland. There is a further referral to Finance. The State Affairs Committee has had Senate Bill 36, administrative regulations under consideration, and the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Curtula, co-chairman, and concurred in by Senators Ray, Bradley, Willis, and Huber. There is a further referral to Judiciary. The State Affairs Committee has had Senate Bill 68, Special Appropriation to Department of Public Works, Haines Boat Harbor, under consideration, and the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Curtula, co-chairman, and concurred in by Senators Ray, Bradley, Huber, and Willis. There is a further referral to Finance. The State Affairs Committee has had House Joint Resolution 8, inviting the President of the United States to address the Alaska Legislature under consideration, and the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Curtula, co-chairman, and concurred in by Senators Ray, Bradley, Huber, and Willis. There is no further referral.
Rules.
There are no other standing committee reports.
Special committee reports.
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
There are no Senate resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 93 by Senators Rohde and Bradley, an act creating a special fish and game prosecutor and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary.
Senate Bill number 94 by Senators Rohde and Bradley, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Law for the office of the special prosecutor for fish and game matters and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and Finance.
Senate Bill number 95 by Senator Rohde, an act relating to the school hot lunch program and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
Senate Bill number 96 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to education in the unorganized borough and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services. This bill carries with it a zero fiscal note. It'll be my practice, if there's a zero fiscal note on a bill, not to refer it to finance unless I have requested by finance to do so. Stand at ease. It will come to order. Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, may we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we will revert to the introduction of guests.
Mr. President, we have here today Dale Allison from Anchorage. I think many of us from Anchorage know. I take great pleasure in introducing him.
Any further introduction of guests? If not, we'll return to the orders of the day. We had under discussion the referral of Senate Bill 96, which, as I stated, had no fiscal note attached. It had a fiscal note attached, but it was a zero fiscal note. There are several instances in which bills come in and have no apparent fiscal impact, at least from the point of view of their author. And perhaps they may be changed by committees to give them a fiscal impact that their author did not intend. Those bills that the committees have, which do not have a further finance referral, but which you feel have a fiscal impact, if you will inform me and inform the chairman of the finance committee, we will make a further referral to the finance committee without any ado, or if the finance committee at any time finds that bills that I have missed the fiscal impact or have been changed to create an impact will notify me, that referral will be made. In the absence of objection, though, if the fiscal note indicates a zero impact, I will omit the finance referral. Is there any objection to that procedure? Senator Cotulla?
No, I object to it as you have in the past, Mr. President. However, if that's going to be the procedure, I presume you will also follow the joint rules and referrals of all other committee bills to those committees which joint rules require them. I see that you seem to be doing that.
Well, I'm sorry, Senator, I didn't understand the nature of your point.
Everything that has the remote possibility of fiscal impact, if you come up with $2 of fiscal impact, has to go to finance. Maybe the rest of us may as well go home.
Oh, I okay. I take it you do not object to my procedure then. in which there is, the bill has indicated that there's no fiscal impact to not make the finance referral automatically.
Mr. President, it's not going to do me any good to object, although I think you're a fair man. What I'm saying is, if you're going to follow your position, then it's the House position, then everything ultimately will probably end up in the Finance Committee because there's going to be an objection, it's going to go to the Finance Committee. Now, that's all, that's fine, but then you better follow the rules on the rest of the referral the same way. If I don't object to it not going to the State Affairs Committee because it has a State Affairs Committee referral within the joint rules, that's fine. But of course, I'll continue to object the same way.
As I understand, as I read the rules, the only mandatory referral required is to the finance. The other statements of jurisdiction do not have a special rule concerning them. They are general outlines of jurisdiction. For instance, everything could go to judiciary also, because it is relates to a change of statute. The only rule that we have related to a particular committee is a special rule which relates to the Finance Committee, and that's the only reason for giving them any special attention in this regard. I did not intend to change the rules or change the procedures of the past.
Well, but you're frustrating me because I can't quite tell what you're saying. You may be playing a liberal position, Mr. President, if you'll weigh my moment of difference with you, or which the Senate has followed in the past. There's been a great deal of material that's gone to other committees without finance referral that's had a limited financial impact, but it's had some. And there will be a fiscal note of $1,000 once in a while, or $5,000. It hasn't gone to finance over the last several years. That's the situation we find ourselves back in. The same on the House is now in. But everything is going to go ultimately to the Finance Committee. If you're going to state that something that has a limited fiscal note is going to go to finance, then we're going to be here until the Finance Committee brings them out, and they're too busy to do it. I don't even think the Finance Chairman wants all that responsibility and the problem.
Senator, I appreciate your suggestion. I think it's helpful. I'll confer with the Senate Chairman, the Finance Chairman, and we'll work out a procedure. I appreciate your suggestion. I think it's valid. Next bill.
Senate Bill Number 97 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the longevity bonus and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services. Again, it has a zero fiscal note attached.
Senate Bill Number 98 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making miscellaneous amendments to the banking statutes.
Commerce.
Senate Bill Number 99 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to wildlife photography contest.
Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 100 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making miscellaneous transfers and terminations of executive agencies and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance. This is a omnibus type of bill which refers to a half a dozen different departments: Fish and Game, Department of Law, Department of Administration, so on and so forth. It's miscellaneous. It could be referred to every committee, but I think we'll leave it up to State Affairs to apply their expertise to it. I don't believe it's that important, so the only referral will be to State Affairs and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 101 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to fish and game and watercraft violation by children.
Resources.
Senate Bill Number 102 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act related to an employee suggestion award system and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 103 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Subcommittee on Oil and Gas Leasing and Taxing Policies, entitled an act concerning the oil and gas properties production tax and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 104 by Senator Rohde, an act relating to the compulsion of testimony or other evidence in judicial proceedings, changing Rule 43H6, Rules of Civil Procedure, and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary.
Mr. President.
Senator Rohde.
I would request that any other senators interested in this topic join me on the bill as a transactional community bill.
Senator Curtula.
Will not you ask consent
to provide notice of co-sponsor? So, clerk will note, Senator Curtula is a co-sponsor. Any further introduction of Senate bills?
There are no other bills this morning.
Senate Sanities. Senate will come back to order. We're at the data calendar.
Senate Bill Number 59 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act repealing the bond requirement for the Real Estate Surety Fund. Commerce Committee had this bill under consideration, and the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Bradley, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Sumner, Hackney, Poland, and Ray. I have no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an unanimous consent that Senate Bill number 57 be advanced from second to third reading and placed for final passage.
Is there any objection? So ordered. Would the Secretary read Senate Bill 52nd in third reading?
Senate Bill number 57, an act repealing the bond requirement for the Real Estate Surety Fund.
Is there any discussion on the bill?
Question.
Senator Huber.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask to the chair, either the chairman of Commerce or whoever might be able to answer, if the surety bond is removed, what is the balance that's in the surety fund? Is there sufficient money in it? The section we're repealing called for this to, the bond to be issued until such time as there was $250,000 in the fund. I think it's reasonable to know what's in the fund. Is it in good shape without it?
Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, there is presently well over $100,000 collected from a portion of the brokers and salesmen, fees are, and by the end of the year, it's anticipated as a result of an increase in fees and a new method, a system of collecting them, that they'll have a total of $250,000. But the surety fund is good, and the administration are glad that we finally established this in 1974. But they don't think that the bond requirement is necessary because they're obligated to make good any claims anyway. And it costs us $4,000 a year, which they haven't paid us yet, for this bond.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Petula?
Well, was there discussion at the time of passage, of course, that they keep the surety fund until such time as they were, until the pool reached $250,000? Now, the administration's coming in, I believe, with a very tight bill now, covering a lot of transactions and a lot of errors and oversights of real estate sales, and it seems strange that we should liberalize this one.
Is there any further, Senator Bradley?
Mr. President, there haven't been any claims against this fund thus far, and they have well over $100,000, anticipate having an entire $250,000 by the end of the year, and they don't see any point in wasting $4,000. Because whether they have a bond or not, they're still obligated to meet the claims that they're legitimate.
Any further discussion on Senate Bill 57? Senator Sumner. Senate will stand at ease. Senator Huber.
Further question to the chair. The chairman of the Commerce said they are obligated to pay the amount anymore in case there isn't any money. Who is they? I always have a problem. Distinctly, who would pay and what would be the procedure if that fund not being allowed to go to $250,000 had an obligation of $150,000? Who would pay the difference between what's in the fund and what isn't in the fund? And how would it be collected?
Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, they is the state.
Is there any further discussion, Senator Huber?
Mr. President, then that means that the surety bond that guarantees that the fees that the real estate brokers would pay to guarantee the purposes of that act, if there wasn't enough money, would be picked up by the state if we repeal this. If we don't repeal it, to save the $4,000 surety bond, by the end of the year, there'll be $250,000 in it anyway, and the surety bond will quit in future years. I think maybe the public would seem to be offhand that the protection of the public and the state treasury might be better served by the original law.
Senator Curtula.
Further reflection, I presume, though, that there would be a capability of assessment for that difference that he's speaking of, between the $100,000 that's now in the pool and the $200,000 that the suit called for. I presume there would be an assessment against the pool, and the state would be collecting its money and give it a little bit of time.
Senator Bradley?
Mr. President, as I understand it, that is correct, as Senator Padula explained.
Senator Huber?
Mr. President, that what Senator Padula suggests may be so, but I cannot find in the statute any way of assessing against the real estate dealers any such thing except from this particular fund. And I think that's why the surety is placed in there. I think it would come out of state treasury. I'm not going to harangue you, it's a small bill.
Senator Cretula?
Mr. President, but they picked up $100,000 in the last 2 years, and now they're assessing themselves even greater to bring it up to a quarter of a million. I presume when the fund got the second $100,000 in it, the state come along and clip it and get its money back. It'd just be natural to expect that.
Senator Huber?
Mr. President, it would appear that the worst of the state would be off, so it might be the loss of interest in having to make up the fund until such time as the fund would indeed have enough money back in it. So maybe it would be worth worrying about.
Is there any further discussion on Senate Bill 57? The question is, shall Senate Bill 57 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Secretary will close the roll. Does any member desire to change his vote? No member desires to change their vote. Would the secretary announce the roll?
The roll shows 17 yeas, one excused, and two absent.
And so Senate Bill 57 has passed the Senate. Senator Huber.
I'll give notice of reconsideration.
The secretary will make the notation.
Senate Joint Resolution 7, opposing House Resolution 39, the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act. The Resources Committee had this resolution under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Poland, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Coletta, Huber, Mieland, and Buttrevich. Senator Croft signed, no recommendation.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an unanimous consent that SJR 7 be considered engrossed to advance the third reading and place for final passage.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, Senate Joint Resolution Number 7 will be considered advanced, engrossed, enrolled, and placed in third reading.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 7, opposing House Resolution 39, the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act.
Is there any discussion on the resolution? Senator Cretula.
Who's read H.R. 39?
Senator Huber. Senator Ziegler, did you wish to speak on the resolution?
Like that's what the resolution is. Senator Poland, under our game plan, will lead off espousing the resolution, and I'll make a few comments pertaining to southeast Alaska specifically, and I understand Senator Poland will talk about the resolution generally.
Senator Poland.
President, as you know, this resolution opposes H.R. 39, which is better known as the Udall Bill. We're all vitally interested in what is going to happen on the B2 lands, and we all realize that no less than 80 million acres will be put into such classification. But the Udall bill increases this to 116 million acres, and that, plus our existing parks, refuge, and forest land, brings up to 146.5 million acres of lands that are set aside. One of the, I think the basic idea of opposing this bill is that it unreasonably shifts, as stated in the resolution, it unreasonably shifts the emphasis from multiple use management of land in the general interest to exclusive resource management in the interest of a few. There are designations in the UDAL Act that state that there will be no mining in refuges. This is closed forever. There are subsistence rights defined in there, and believe me, subsistence does not mean that Alaska Natives can hunt in certain areas. It means that only those who live a very strict subsistence lifestyle will be allowed to hunt in those areas. It turns over the control of our fish and game in the petroleum reserve to the Fish and Wildlife. One of the things that we sought in statehood was to have control of our fish and game. The feeling of the majority of the Resources Committee was that this bill was much too far-reaching, and we therefore wish to go on record as opposing it.
Senator Ziegler. Senator Meehlin.
Mr. President, most of us that live in Senate District B, which of course encompasses the larger part of the Tongass, are very concerned and very disturbed of the passage of the H.R. 39, the UDAL bill. We here that live in Senate District B and most of the Tongass are more interested in mineral development or fishing rehabilitation or timber production and maybe hunting. But we're certainly not interested in tying it all up into national parks or monuments or game preserves. Thank you.
Senator Ziegler.
Mr. President, very briefly, everybody represents these issues of the Anchorage Times. There's a headline for our featured article on the first page, Dateline Washington, Admiralty proposing for it. If you look at the map, which has been posted up on the podium, that large green area in the center is Admiralty Island, and some outgoing officials of the Ford administration wanted to make that a national monument. And it was only through the stalwart efforts of Senator Brevard Stevens that this was aborted at the last moment. Now, the UDAL proposal, I have to treat that as some kind of an end run, because it would come back and do the very same thing. First of all, I should know that in my old age, I am mellowing. The conservationists do make an occasional point. There's no question about that. Everybody wants to see the country ravaged. However, Senator Mullen so rightly said, you just can't lock up 4.5 million acres in South Alaska for the benefit of a few. It doesn't make too much sense to me. And I, likewise, even though I am somewhat sympathetic towards the conservationist goals, I disapprove of the manner in which they did them, because within the last year or so, the U.S. Forest Service, the state of Alaska, the pulp industry, the fishing people, the mining people, they've all had been meeting in a series of conferences to figure out how we can best utilize our lands down here. And the UDAL proposal, which is 100% thought out by, proposed by Southeastern conservation groups, would simply end run the good work that a lot of well-meaning associates have been doing and reporting progress on. A more immediate concern to me is the fact that on the lower right-hand quadrant of the map, and I'll go up and point to it right now.
Without objection.
The yellow areas are what the Forest Service was considering designating as wilderness areas. The green areas are the UDAL plan. Down here in Ketchikan, under the UDAL plan, the area where U.S. Borax contemplates the construction and mining of a molybdenum complex would be totally wiped out. And I can't see it. It would be a great thing for Southeastern or the state of Alaska as well. The plans to materialize. There's a meeting going on in the government conference we must have right now with state officials, U.S. Forest Services, service people, and the Borax people. And I am sure that that this is too worthwhile a project to be stopped just for birds' scenic beauty. Maybe I feel sorry for saying that, but that's what I feel about it. You've got to have support for development, which would be beneficial to the state and to the country. So I support the resolution. I'd like to
Is there any further discussion on Senate Joint Resolution Number 7? Senator Coletta. Yes, I was just going to, before we take a vote, we have a malfunction in our board. Would the Secretary clear the board? Senator Orsini's vote last, it seems.
First, Mr.
President. There was a malfunction in the Senate, Mr. President.
Is there any further discussion on Senate Joint Resolution Number 7? The question before us, shall Senate Joint Resolution Number 7 pass the Senate? Senators may vote. Has any member failed to vote? Secretary will close the roll. Does any member desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 17 yeas. There's one absent, or two absent, and one excused.
And so Senate Joint Resolution Number 7 has passed the Senate.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 6 by Representatives Bradley, Cotton, Kelly, and Phillips congratulating the Chugiak Eagle River Star.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move as unanimous consent that HCR 6 be adopted.
Is there any discussion on HCR 6? Senator Willis.
Resolution is self-explanatory. However, the resolution is much more meaningful if you happen to personally know Lee Jordan and the Jordan family. This paper is indeed a family enterprise in which all members of the family participate in the production of this our local paper. The editor himself was the former mayor of the Eagle River Chugiak borough. He is the editor and owner of the paper, of course. He also writes many of the stories. He's also runs the press. Other members of the family have various jobs. I know our community is very, very proud of the Jordan family and their contributions to the family and the newspaper. I think it's a very high honor to be able to speak on behalf of this particular full newspaper, and I would urge you to pass it.
Is there any further discussion on House Concurrent Resolution Number 6? The question before us, and we'll take it on a voice vote unless there's objection. The question before us is, shall House Concurrent Resolution Number 6 pass the Senate? Is there objection? There being no objection, it is hereby ordered that House Concurrent Resolution Number 6 has unanimously passed the Senate. Senator Croft.
We will revert to the introduction of guests.
Without objection, we will revert to the introduction of guests.
We have two distinguished Alaskans in the gallery. Rumor has it that they are here negotiating a contract at this point regarding my electrical.
Any further introduction of guests? We will revert to the daily order of business.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 14 by all members of the House honoring Langhorne A. Tony Motley.
Senator Poland. Senate will stand at ease. Senator Curtula.
Mr. President, everybody has a great deal of liking. They like Tony Motley. Just a couple little questions have been introduced into the resolution and brought to my attention. We don't want to cause any possible embarrassment to the passage of the resolution. So I'm going to ask unanimous consent to be held over on Monday's calendar when Senator Ray and others will be here.
Is there,
that's sincerely yeah. question.
Is there any objection to the request that House Concurrent Resolution number 14 be held over till Monday, the next legislative day? There being no objection, please. So ordered. Madam Secretary, I believe that concludes the daily calendar. Is that correct?
That concludes the calendar for today.
Unfinished business? Senator, where will that be? Any other announcements? Senator Sackett?
Mr. President, I'd like to request that Senate Bill 93, which was introduced this morning, also be referred to the Finance Committee.
Without objection, Senate Bill 93 will be referred to the Finance Committee as the last committee referral.
And, Mr. President, one of the questions which keeps cropping up as we've discussed this morning, which I'd like to meet with you later on, are the fiscal notes that are attached to new bills introduced. And just to show you two examples of what has occurred with the fiscal notes coming from the administration and perhaps their credibility with regard to the exact amount that those bills really entail financially. I'd like to have Senate Bill 54, which relates to adoption assistance, and Senate Bill 45, both also sent to the Finance Committee, and this is with the concurrence of the Rules Chairman.
Is there any objection to the further reference to Senate Bill 54 to the Finance Committee as the committee of last referral?
And 45.
So ordered that Senate Bill 54, is there any objection to the referral of Senate Bill 45 to the Finance Committee as the committee of last referral? There being no objection, so ordered. Secretary will make the notations. Any other unfinished business? Senator Curtula.
President, under unfinished business is this morning's call of ways between myself and you, recognizing also that you're in a poor position to debate from the President's standpoint. In fact, I don't think you wish to do so. But I've been looking at Rule 22, and I think your statement that other committees would have, my misinterpretation of your statement, perhaps, my interpretation of your statement is that really only the Finance Committee has specific responsibilities, that you have somewhat of an arbitrary capability in to the extent of assigning other committees legislation. Now, you do, to the judiciary, you have no arbitrary possibility here for assigning certain measures to the judiciary. It's called for, but many others you may or may not. But if you look at other committees, you'll see specifically that Rule 22 says the following bills shall go to them, period. And I just want to bring this to your attention.
I
realize you can assign other committees that legislation besides just assigning what the rules call for. But I just want to bring it to your attention if we have to go into this.
Senator, I appreciate your comments. I take no issue with them. I was under the impression that there was one further additional rule at which I can't place my finger on at the moment. I'll review that and we'll discuss it again.
I reviewed it too and can't find
that. Well, it may not exist. Is there any further business to come before that? Any other unfinished business?
Mr. President.
Secretary Poland. Senator Poland.
President, I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate on February 4th, which is next Friday, to attend the AFN Foundation meeting on OCS and Coastal Zone Management in Anchorage.
Is there any objection? Request has been to be excused from a call of the House by the Senator for February the 4th. So ordered. Senator.
Mr. President, I'll be going up to Anchorage for some constituent meetings, and I had thought that we were going to convene Monday at 2:30 like we have been, but I understand that we will be convening Monday at 10 a.m. So in case I can't get that Sunday flight out, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from Monday if I don't get back.
Excused or excused from the call of the House, sir?
Well, excused from the call of the House.
Is there any objection to Senator Willis's request for an excuse to the call of the House on Monday next? If not, so ordered. Senator Croft?
Mr. President, so everybody can plan their schedule for the first 3 days next week, would you announce the times of the meeting on the broadcast contract and the places?
The notice that we sent out and have publicized is that the hearings will start at 2:00 on Monday and continue Tuesday and Wednesday at unspecified hours. I was hopeful that on Tuesday and Wednesday that the hearings will be able to commence at 11:00 and run until noon, reconvene at 1:00 and run until 5:00. I think there's going to, on both days. Now, I have no idea as yet how many people are going to testify nor how long the cross-examination of witnesses might take. We were unable to get any room that was large enough to accommodate senators and House members who wished to sit with the committee. So the first 2 days of the hearings will be held at the Hilton Hotel, and the third day of the hearings will be held at the Baranoff. We couldn't even get at one of the hotels for all 3 days, so we'll have to set up our equipment on it twice. There's a possibility that the hearings may go on into Thursday, depending, of course, upon the will of the committee and the desires of witnesses to testify. The indication is that the House Senate Resources Committee and Senate Finance Committee intend to attend, insofar as possible, those hearings so that they will not have to hold further public hearings except as their individual judgment may require on incidental items. And because there are joint hearings with the House, there will be some members of the House Finance Committee present also. All senators, if you will notify my office particularly, are invited to attend, and we will attempt to make certain that we have a place for you at the committee table. All senators, regardless of their committee assignments, who wish to attend, will be permitted the privilege of the full privileges of a committee member, except as, of course, to voting. This is the meeting was of the special five-man committee appointed the second day of the session. But for purposes of debate, discussion, committee attendance, I know that there are senators who are not on those committees, and their attendance is more than welcome, and their participation will be, I'm sure, not only helpful to them, but helpful to the Senate and the people of the state. Senator Cotulla?
President, commentary on this is over. I would move and ask unanimous consent to revert to introduction of guests.
With no objection, we will revert to the introduction of guests.
Mr. President, it gives me a great deal of pleasure today to introduce a very distinguished Alaskan, an author, and a great person, wife of former president of the Senate, Mr. Carl.
Any further introduction of guests?
Senator Hack. Introduction,
yes, we are, sir.
See, in the gallery behind me, a distinguished borough councilman from Fairbanks, Mr. Butch Stein.
Senator Sackett. You have it, sir.
In the gallery on this side is a person who has worked a number of years out here in Juneau under Governor Pickle, that became the Commissioner of Indian Affairs, and who is presently working with one of the pipeline groups here in Alaska, Forest Council.
Any further introductions of guests?
Further Alaskan I'd like to introduce.
Senator Couture.
We all know her, very gracious and capable person, Judy Hopkins.
Any further introduction of guests? If not, we are under unfinished business, special orders, announcements. Is it for purposes of committee chairman, we will plan on convening Monday at 10 o'clock instead of at 2 o'clock, as has been our custom for the past 2 weekends, primarily so that we can conclude our daily business in preparation for the hearings that will commence at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That may affect some of your scheduling of committee meetings. It's the only reason I'm making that, again, calling that to your attention. Do we have any announcements of committee meetings? Senator Hackney?
Yes, Mr. President, this afternoon, the Senate has at 3 o'clock, Senate Bill 44, an act relating to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, Senate Bill 46, which is an act relating to the Student Regent on the Board of Regents. And Mr. President, I had planned on having a House meeting on Monday, but I think we'll cancel that Monday meeting if we'll advise those who were told that there was going to be a meeting. I think this oil and gas is important enough that we'll take second.
Any further committee announcements? Senator Poland?
Mr. President, Senate Resources will meet this afternoon and the bill is posted.
The hour on that, Senator, is
1:30.
Any further committee announcements? Senator Holman?
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary in the Court Building, Room 647 at 3:30, to receive additional testimony on Senate Bill 12, 14, 31, initial testimony on Senate Bill 75 and 79, and House Bill 64. We've set up a tentative meeting of budget audit this afternoon.